Wir kommen zu dem Programmpunkt mit dem selbsterklärendsten Namen, dem CCC-Jahresrückblick. Deshalb kann ich euch nur bitten, macht mal einen mega dicken Applaus für Konstanze, Erdgeist, Kantorkel, Khaleesi und Lino!
Welcome to the English translation of the CCC's Year in Review by Erdgeist, Kantorkel, Khaleesi and Linus, live from 38C3. All talks at the Congress are live translated between English and German and to one more language. We appreciate any feedback. Please use the hashtag C3Lingo. Your translators today are going to be Molito, Katzenzunge, Tribut and Yolande. Welcome to our really review 2024. I'm going to say a few words about CCC. We're an association. As Germans, that's what we do. We have about 7,000 or 8,000 members. Maybe we will have some more detailed statistics of that later. We're all volunteers and we are an independent association. And we love running non-commercial events such as this one, but also others. And we're going to try to not just speak about political issues that we've been dealing with during the past year, but also show you how the core works of the association, how the EFAs, the local associations work, which do all kinds of work on various issues. And as you know, we want to contribute to technical education, education about technology. And during the past months, we were very busy. So we're going to start as usual in January, and then we're going to proceed until December. And I think Khaleesi is going to start. No, it's going to be me. So January. So the chant is, the CCC is protecting perpetrators, and the banner says, believe people affected, believe victims. Welcome to this stage. You have 1 minute to tell us what you want to say. What do you want to say? This is an open space. The CCC protects perpetrators and does not believe affected victims. We've seen it, and you can also look at Instagram at Keine Show für Täter. The CCC does not believe victims. So we figured that out. Please leave the stage now.
Okay, Sie wollen nicht von der Bühne runtergehen?
They do not want to leave the stage. Maybe everybody who is here and does not like that these people are on the stage may shout boo. We have a tight schedule, please. You've made your point, please leave the stage. Fuck the mediation organ is the chant. Or the mediation committee. We've heard your point, please leave. Do you want to say anything?
Ich glaube, es und wenn ihr eine Bühne haben möchtet, könntet ihr euch für einen
Es gibt sicher
Talk
noch irgendwelche Räume und das
Maybe there could be other ways or another session where you could find a space for your point and your issue.
Und ich glaube, wir können darüber gerne diskutieren.
We can talk about this.
Und ich glaube, wir haben euch alle gesehen und gehört, und es wäre
gut. We've seen and heard you, and it might be more constructive to shift this discussion into the appropriate space. How about you stand on the side of the stage and stay for as long as you like?
Wer von euch hat denn Lust auf den Vortrag, der jetzt eigentlich?
So who of you would like to hear the talk?
Damit dieser Vortrag passieren kann.
For that to happen, this banner is kind of a distraction. I'd like to ask you to stand on the side so that everybody who came here for the talk can get to actually hear and see the talk. Everything else is not my job to figure out. Maybe write an email to the club.
Klärt es direkt mit den Betroffenen, aber ich glaube, das ist aber nicht das richtige Forum.
But I don't think this is the right place and time.
Wer von euch möchte sie denn anhören? Ich höre da so ganz kleine Stimmen. Das sind zwei.
Some of you who would like to hear these people and who would not like to hear the people with the banner. So this is a clear majority. So the slogan that was shouted was something like, "Justice is not democracy."
Liebes Publikum, lasst
Gewalt ist keine Lösung.
Dear audience, let's have security figure this out. We're going to continue in a minute.
Ihr würdet gerne weiter die anderthalb Stunden.
So you want to keep standing here for the 1.5 hours that were allotted for this talk?
Okay.
Vielleicht sollten wir einfach unseren inhaltlichen.
Maybe we should just talk. Start with the talk.
Wollen wir das machen? Also wir wollten eigentlich.
Do we want to do that?
Über die Korrektivrecherche.
We were planning to speak about the research done by the Korrektiv Collective. About the shift towards the right on the political spectrum. So we're going to start now. Oops. The slogan is "Don't forget, don't forgive. Perpetrators have names and addresses." The last chant was, you are not alone. And now it's no forgiveness, no forgetting. Perpetrators have names and addresses again.
Okay. Und ich glaube, damit haben wir eine freie Bühne und die Möglichkeit.
All right. So now we have a stage and can continue with our schedule. And another warm round of applause, please.
Danke für den Redebeitrag. Wir haben
Thank you for your contribution. As speakers, we have the problem, also the nice situation that we have created an institution with the mediation organ or the mediation committee that makes sure that it's not going to be us, the speakers, or any other sort of diffuse or vague structure is going to make decisions, but instead we have a clearly defined organ with documented structures and procedures where we can make sure that everybody can feel safe, that we can deal with conflicts, but this mediation organ does not report to us. We do not know what this case seems to be about. We've heard that there's been a story on Instagram, but we can't really make any judgment on this. And the mediation organ deals with these issues confidentially. So in that case, we can't really say anything about this case, and also we don't want to, but we do trust the mediation organ and that this mediation organ is going to make sensible decisions and solve these kinds of conflicts. We can't say anything else, really. I'd like to add one more thing regarding the mediation organ and how it works. So the people working there is not going to be us, but it's transparent. We have the information published. You can Google Schiedsstelle in CCC and find out who's there and dealing with these matters. We're going to start with similarly nice or uncomfortable issues, the shift towards the political right that's happening in Germany right now. In January, the Collective published their research, and this led to the historically strongest mass demonstrations against the far right in German history. I don't have to repeat all the details, but the important part was that the collective has been targeted by all kinds of attacks. People have been in front of their houses, have been slandered, and we're quite happy that back then we expressed our solidarity and that John Peters, who was part of this research group, held the keynote as this year's Congress. We also say hi to our friends at AfD, so the German far-right party. And we have this bus in one of the halls to accompany the election cycle. And obviously, as the club, we support the prohibition of the AfD party. We are also happy that the people who basically brought down the FPÖ government in Austria last year, a couple of years ago, with their research on the Ibiza scandal, also in Hall H, feel free to go and help work on this very nice vehicle. And when racist parties are part of parliaments, this kind of begs the question, do you talk to them, Erdgeist? I've had the problem already in 2023 because the CCC was asked by some nervous MPs. They wanted some information about AI and how it's going to be affecting political processes, both negatively and positively. So I was asked to go there and answer a few questions, and suddenly I had a question from somebody sitting in the back right, who was actually a member of the AfD. And I wasn't prepared for this question, because generally I try to go and help with my technical expertise and help the MPs make decisions easier or more easily. And I wasn't really expecting to get these questions that might be abused for radical politics. So I was very confused and irritated and felt very much out of place. I would have prepared to not answer at all. In the end, I just answered as briefly as I could. But this was quite a moment, and I realized that this wasn't that I wasn't the only person dealing with this. And Aline Blankets, whom you might know from the opening, had this issue as well, and she was asked a very leading question. And so she explicitly excluded the non-democratic parties, and there were some complaints about that. And this has led to the fact that the German parliament is very explicit now in its invitations and summonings, and says that you're supposed to answer questions from all parties and all factions. And there was an open letter criticizing this in November. That was signed by several experts who have been summoned to these kinds of hearings, expressing our disagreement. Now something nicer. The club made itself a nice birthday gift for the 42nd birthday. As you said, the CCC had its 42nd birthday recently, and we thought that art might be a way to celebrate. So we thought about, what does CCC mean for us? CCC always publishes issues, talks about problems, and tries to prevent dystopias. But right now we would like to talk about the utopias that CCC actually represents. And as we know, every creature here will have their own ideas and their own utopias, so we can't show all of them, but we can show a selection. So this is why we had a call for a paper or call for utopias. We had a lot of submissions and had to select a few. We selected 12 submissions that you will now going you're now going to look at, and they're also connected to various prizes. And the projects are actually quite different. There's literary works, generative art, short stories, pictures, video games, and films. And you can now look at all of these, not only under 42.ccc.de, but also in Hall J, just across from Stage Yell. And maybe you can go and have a look and get inspired. I'm looking forward to your visit. See you there.
Thanks very much for this short mission. So when we have a patient file in Europe, then the European wants to have its own thing, the European Health Data Space, which sounds quite fancy, but it isn't really. The idea is that all the European patient data should be aggregated in a single space. And things like when you go to the doctor, you're going to pharmacy, like the EPA, but also to use it for research purposes in a pseudonymized manner. We have signed an open letter to get an opt-out possibility, but this was not implemented. This was on the 16th of December put into law, and this is now off the table. This is rather concerning. We already heard in the talk about the EPA what kind of illnesses can come up there, and this is quite a concerning development. So over to Constanze. In general, we need to say that in 2024, health data were very much a concern in many different forms. So for instance, the German Research Data Center, where all the data of insured people are aggregated. They claimed many months that they want to create a concept for the security. And there's a national consultation body, and we're trying to bring this to the European Court of Justice, this mass aggregation of health data together with the German Society for Freiheitsrechte. So we want to ask this question on a fundamental constitutional basis at a European level, and those health data, the protection of them is not as developed in other states as much in Germany. There's quite some protests on a global level, but looking at the facts and the court ruling by the European Court of Justice, so there's another limit which has been transgressed in March now. The fingerprints, which a German had the point, this does not go against the right of the European Union that he has to provide two fingerprints, but this was based on a incorrect legal basis and has to be amended until 2026. The current new European Parliament will have to deal with this again, but this case is then referred back to the administrative court in Wiesbaden, Germany, because it's been basically clarified on the European level. This whole project has basically exhausted the legal possibilities. There has been a ruling 10 years ago that the collection of biometric data is legal and okay. So the cases brought to court against it were not successful, and basically the legal ways have been exhausted, so you can't go to the European Court again. In parallel to that, in Germany, there's a development since that children are being tracked biometrically. The children's passport, which did not contain biometric data, has been abolished, so even smallest children are being tracked biometric, so full biometric standards, same as adults, are being applied to children as well. The only difference being that the biometric passport is valid only for 6 years. This is total. The biometric tracking is quite mad. The whole fingerprints and technically doesn't make any sense at all. It's very expensive, €37.50. And after a while, the biometric passport is not valid anymore. Then after 6 years, that's a different child, and you have to get a new passport with the biometric data because the image has changed. So it's quite mad. But in the public discourse, this was not even a topic. So this has created so much work over the years. There are these people in the local administrative offices, but this is just not being discussed on a political level, and it's just very annoying. I can't say more to that. And talking about annoying, the most conservative Senate of the Republic of Germany, where all the very conservative students at the Administrative Court of Justice in Leipzig decided that the administrative bodies can decide themselves if they reply on email or by post. In essence, this means you can't have any anonymous requests according to the information freedom law, because they need to reply by post. The transparency law in March that was passed by, was cut by this administrative court, and platforms like Frag den Staat ask the state, which is based on anonymous requests, is been circumvented. The German government has not been able to pass a law concerning this, and we have now an Freedom of Information Act, which is even less effective than the one we had before, thanks to this 10th Senate of the Federal Administrative Court. And please don't applaud that. So, okay, I'm going to stop there now. Palantir, I have to really tell you about this. The interior body of the federal parliament, the conservative party, which was in the opposition in the Bundestag, the federal parliament, that claimed that all should use something called Vera, which is a synonym for Palantir fed with police data. They had a big debate, but no one was in favor of this except for the police, and in the end, not even the most conservative party. Instead, they invited the competitors of Palantir, and they said, well, we can also do this. You just need to give us a bit of initial financing, and then we can do this in half a year or a year. So this Palantir discussion has changed a bit, that this could also be done by a German consortium. So in Germany, we have only three federal states that use Palantir, right? Bavaria and two others. And in the pilot phase, where they used actual real-time data, but this is not really moving forward. So the Ministry of the Interior has made sure that the Palantir is not being used on a federal administrative level. So we'll have to make an effort that does not become a reality. The problem is that a lot of unassociated witnesses or other contact people are being included in the analysis by Palantir. So this is going against the actual purpose, which is a basic principle in data protection. And this was also the reason why the Federal Administrative Court declared this illegal. And there are a few more court rulings in 2015 expected from other courts. So please keep an eye on this. So what about the payment card? Do you have an eye on that? So this is a payment card for refugees, which was introduced in April and May as another way of annoying migrants and refugees, because they can't really pay in a more liberal manner using cash. So expenses can be traced. Works like a credit card, but most of the time you can't just go to any shop, you can't transfer money abroad. Different from when you get cash. So if you have to pay something abroad, which was possible before, this is not feasible anymore. The Organization of Lawyers has elaborated a number of scenarios, and we've protested also against this payment card. It's an important topic that we continue to vote against this and oppose this. And the minimum level of human rights and dignity is that refugees should also be able to pay in cash.
And because we always like to hack things, there are lots of collectives that try to hack the paying cards with solidary exchanges. You can find it in the search engines of your choice. And now we're happy about Falcon for the exciting part, because we did amazing new things, not just art. Hi. Exactly. So you can see the Hacking Bible 3, Hack Bible 3. For all people who might have not been member of the CCC in 1986, the Hacker Bibles 1 and 2 are big works of the Chaos Computer Club, which were released in the 80s. For many people, it was the first step to the CCC, because they founded libraries, and they might have been the only one who were interested in computers. And by now, this has a historical value. So historians have taken a look at it, came to our reaction, and were thinking about, or were asking if we might want to do a third edition 40 years later. And now we gathered and made a Hacking Bible 3. So it was this year publicly presented at the book conference in Leipzig. Can be purchased now. And this, sadly, dear members, made us neglect the Datenschleuder in the last few years. So we're happy we could make you a Christmas gift, a small one. And the Datenschleuder 8 will be in your letterbox just before the context or after it, which is great. Exactly. So the Datenschleuder 108 has a few nice articles. I can recommend it for everybody who might not be a member. You can also buy it online. So newly there are signs with braille for people who are blind, and here in the Datenschleuder we have a nice article by the deaf community. For example, we also have an article on hacking ethics, where we plead you to read about it and discuss it with us. 40 years have passed in this topic, and we might want to allow a few new influences there. So that's that. Exactly. Members, this is very exciting to me, because we need to print a lot of new Datenschleudern. And as you can see, in this year, 2023, December to December of 2024, this is the member administration year. We had a membership growth of 7,900 to about 8,150. And it had been a very event-poor year concerning member development. Just the addition by two congresses. But a small anecdote on the side. So now we pass the 8,000 members, but the chaos number that always counts up, which only counts up and is not reset, is at around 16,000. So a lot of people who joined us have already left us again.
Alles klar. Wunderbar, ich danke euch.
I thank you very much.
Wieso habe ich eigentlich immer die Themen, die so old sind?
Why do I always get the boring topics? I always need to talk about the court rulings where something went wrong. So we have a law ruling to data saving. There was a very radical ruling by the European Court that.
Danach allerdings kam ein paar Urteile, vor allen Dingen 2020.
So, especially in 2020, there were a few court rulings where.
Vermeiden noch mal ein Stück zurückrudern hinten nach
hinten. Where they reduced it and the court ruling in May already went after a few red lines which they already designed. So prosecutors who always want that data preservation in different countries put a lot of pressure, and you can realize that in the court. So the court gave into that a bit. This was a French case. So in the end, the law ruling, if you want to look at it on the sentence, I would phrase it like this. The saving of IP addresses without a reason is possible under certain circumstances, especially that the serving behavior of the ones who create the IP addresses is not being profiled, which is possible. This is the Hadobe case on the creators' usage rights harm. So you might want to have an IP address to warn the users. But if you take a look at the
es ist natürlich sehr schwierig, davon auszugehen, wie man eine Profilierung
at the entities who control it, it's very hard to think about how you should avoid a profiling if you're supposed to use it in a prosecution case.
Keine Ahnung, was eigentlich die extremen Parteien da machen.
So, you noticed there was a coalition, CDU, CSU, and the more extreme parties. They want to have it on the table again. So don't let them tell you the nonsense that the European court just allowed it. It's very more explicit than that, very more specific than that. So the European court still says there's no, it's not allowed to save, to preserve data without a reason for that, not to communication data, not metadata. But it will stay a topic. Can I do something positive then?
A year ago, we
showed this second best method to protect against facial recognition. So this bag on the head is kind of impractical, so we might need better measures. For example, authorities who are supposed to be supervisors for this kind of process or to overlook these kind of processes. It'd be great if they do their jobs. So actually, this PIM-EYES was used last during the year to find Daniela Klette. And in June, biometrics was kind of an important issue, which is why I'm going to give him more examples now. We found out that the Federal Criminal Police Office has actually passed on a lot of their biometric data to the Fraunhofer Institute to test facial recognition methods. And testing works best if you use real pictures, so that's why the Federal Criminal Police Office actually passed on all of their real data to the Institute. And the responsible authorities first said they didn't know anything about this, and they tried to find a legal basis, which did not really work out, and we also had a talk about this yesterday. Then we dealt with the AI Act throughout the year. So the first year with the bag on the head was in the European Parliament, where we'd been invited by some MPs to speak about mass surveillance. And unfortunately, strong protection against facial recognition has not been entered into the AI Act. In general, remote identification is possible, despite the fact that this is a clear contradiction to the coalition agreement, where the parties agreed that the European law would forbid any kind of large-scale facial recognition. But well, we also dealt with the Debureaucratization Act. You might remember that a few years ago, biometric data has been collected on passports for quite a while to fight terrorism. And now these data are supposed to be used to speed up controls at airports, like security checks. You might remember the the body scans, where if you refuse to go through, you win an actual manual search. And I can only invite you to do this more often, especially if you're white and have, you know, not a lot of beard, to know what it's like for people who actually get targeted by these methods all the time. And while you do that, you can talk about quite loudly about what you are opposed here against here, and so that people behind you in the line might actually learn more about these issues. I can only recommend this. There was another second issue here with the Debureaucratization Act, and that was that requirements on registering were removed, but only if you have a German passport. We also were at the Committee for Interior Affairs and demanded an end to biometric surveillance. And as we know, the police can be quite creative and don't actually follow the law quite a lot of times. And various states, such as Saxony and Baden-Württemberg and others, they have been working on mass surveillance in traffic, where they built a system that has a camera that can film passengers and drivers in cars and can detect who's driving. And as quite often this happened with other people who were supposed for data protection supervision and data protection officers, and as there's very little information, it's kind of hard to go the legal way, to go to courts. So it would be actually helpful here to have more information about what cars are being targeted by this.
In dem Gesetz, das im
the Act, the AI Act, also contains an exception. The idea is to only allow facial recognition when you're looking for serious criminals. This doesn't really help if you think about train stations, where there's about 500,000 people passing through, and if there is like one criminal being searched for, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. So actually, I think that this isn't really an exception, and basically means that you can use mass facial recognition in these spaces. So if facial recognition is properly introduced, so far it's only been kind of introduced. Now there is legal grounds to find out about the identities of refugees, but there is no large-scale facial recognition. And here we need to thank the Conservative Party, the CDU, who prevented in the second chamber of the German parliament, the Bundesrat, that this part would go through. The reason for them was that it didn't go far enough. It wasn't far-reaching enough. We continue with some beautiful things, but also less beautiful things. We have also created a new institution, the Chaotic Catalyzer Scholarship. It's been around for 3 years now, and it gives 1,500 euros to selected people writing master's theses. It has been given to several students. If you go to our website, chaos-stipendium, You can find the thesis that have already been finished and published, and also the requirements to be part of this and receive the scholarship. The basic idea was to carry the hacking ethics into academic research and also get back feedback in form of inspiration and etc. And to also give a stage to special works as part of talks or podcasts, etc. It's important to mention that we are striving for, or we want to support theses from all areas of academic research, not just from the STEM areas. And we would like to invite students from all academic fields for the scholarship to foster discourse between society and academia. And especially if you have some kind of utopian vision or critical perspective for transformation, you're invited to apply, because these are the kind of works that we feel we need right now. Past works have been on various issues such as forced digitalization and others. So if you are going to have to write a thesis, maybe remember this website or look it up. Or if you know people who might fit this program, please spread the word. We also have various things such as posters and flyers. And one more addition, when there's a lot of financing being cut in research and academia, I think it's actually very important to have these kinds of programs, because it actually affects the life of students. For example, in Berlin, we're talking about higher student semester fees, less consultation hours, and we haven't even started talking about rent yet. Thank you for your attention.
So.
So from underfunded research to the underrepresented European Parliament, there were European elections in June, and this was a bit of a look ahead, which we will also have to deal with in Germany soon. So the shift to the far right is a reality and is here now. So nearly half the parliament seats are being taken by right-wing parties, which does not exactly make our work on the European level easier. So the possibilities on a parliamentary level were there in the last years. Commissioner Johansson, my special friend, is gone now, but many other members of the commission are not much better. So we need to be vigilant regarding the European politics. I know that for many this is quite complicated because it's intransparent, and in the Hacker Bible, the Hack Bible, there's an article about activists. So if you have one of these Bibles, look inside. Maybe some things will become a bit more clear. So we need to be very careful and vigilant in that regard. Now, that's a good keyword regarding the European processes, which are quite cumbersome and long-winded. And I want to also praise the work of ETRI, where Khaleesi is doing a lot of coordination, and it's important to have the people on site who inform us in time when something is going on and what the political constellations are like. This is very important, and the organization of PETRI has become more active in 2024. So not only to mediate to the member organizations, but also to stand up in public, take a stand. And not only in Germany, where it's relatively simple, but also in other European countries. So lots of thanks to Brussels.
Was
So what you can see here is a picture from Andy McGee, which he took at 2063 in 2009, when WikiLeaks release 1.0 took place. And WikiLeaks was introduced to a small public area. And years afterwards, many releases took place, which made it well known on a global level and made Julian Assange the person was very much hunted after. He took refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy in London in like 46 square meters, just a room in that embassy. And who, after the change of government, was moved to prison in the UK because the asylum in the embassy was not valid anymore, and then he was in prison in the UK 5 years. And in May 2024, he signed a plea bargain where he claimed guilty under criminal acts under the Espionage Act, and he was convicted guilty, but already had spent the time in prison, so he was released into liberty. So, yeah, I think that's worth an applause. In all that time, not all WikiLeaks releases have necessarily led to a better world, in my sense, and I would like the world to become a better place, in my sense. And there were a lot of controversies, discussions about the person, Julian Assange. But all those years in prison, it was never about the person, Julian Assange, but it was about the freedom of a journalist who did what journalists do, that is, bring to the public. I think that is wrong. And Julian Assange was forgotten about, and yeah. Twitter on the C-Leaks, maybe it's gone a bit strange, a bit weird, but a lot of people thought, maybe he's gone too far. But one person took care of Julian all this time, who never forgot about him, who visited Julian, who was giving talks here at the congresses, how he's being surveilled, how he's being treated. And also created lots of support for the plea bargain story. And so let's give a great applause to him. Unfortunately, Andy can't be here. Andy McGee, that is. He can't be here at this time. But let's give him another round of applause. Of course, Andy is here, and you can find him at the booth of Wau Holland Stiftung, so you can shake hands and clap him on the shoulder. Another thing I want to add here, just another organization which has been very much effective. This is Reporters Without Borders. And without them, this wouldn't have been possible. So I can very much recommend to watch the talks again that Andy held at the last couple of congresses. So let's move on to another zombie in our portfolio of zombies, apart from mass data collection. So I'm quite sure you've been waiting for it. We're still dealing with the right encryption. So we are now at the fourth presidency of the European Council, which is not very surprising. I mean, I can't quite keep track anymore how many experts from the technical area from the area of child protection, and politics aren't listening. The council is not listening to its own legal services assessment. And this meme here is quite an accurate reflection of what's happening. So we're moving around the chairs and the deck of the Titanic. The ship is sinking, but let's brush it up a bit. So we still want to break encryption. So what happened this year? We had an agreement in the parliament defined, and the next step would have been the trilogue, but the council has to first agree amongst itself. This year, Belgium was in the presidency of the council, and Hungary. So you can imagine that this wasn't exactly funny for us. The Belgians were pretending that they had safeguard built in and exceptions. We just read the messages before they are being sent, and that way we're not breaking encryption. So this is quite a euphemism. And then the Hungarians joined in June. They delivered something that nobody was expecting. First of all, they didn't really change the whole law, but they went along with it, and they want to somehow break encryption without saying so. But they also applied a little diplomatic trick, which is quite unmatched for us. There was a vote of the ministers in December, if I got that right. And all the ministers that are against chat control had to voice their opinion individually, why they are against it. And the logical thinking of the Hungarians was that if they have to say in public why they want to keep the encryption, that would give them a bad stand. Fortunately, the Hungarians shot themselves in the foot that way, because the minority of countries that have to vote against this led to somewhat of a counterattack, and they detailed why they were against that, referencing to IT security, data protection, their own legal assessment of the council, and so on. So, it was a bit of a victory for us. This has been going on for 6 EU presidencies. The next ones, which you can see here at the little carousel on the slide, the next in line are the Poles. And the Poles have always been against the chat control, and it seems like they don't want to adjust the law. And I will continue to follow. But after Poland, it's Denmark's turn, and Denmark is going to adjust this. This is in the second half of 2025, where we will also have a new German government, which will probably also mean a change of Germany's position. Maybe just to explain, the ministers and also the diplomatic representatives in Brussels, when they have this vote in the council, are obliged to follow along with the German government's vote. So if they say we are for it, that's what they have to vote in Brussels as well. This is what could happen. So now we should use all the momentum and all the power that we've set up last year, gather that against chat control, become loud and not forget about it, that this thing is still on the agenda to prevent the chat control, because if Germany votes for the chat control, then this will move on to the trilogue with a European Parliament, which is very much right-wing now, and which, when in doubt, will step back rather than stay with the parliamentary vote that we have.
Muss man nicht klatschen.
There's no need to vote.
Vielleicht kommen wir, jetzt habe ich den Faden verloren.
Now I've lost the thread.
Maybe we come to the less pretty things that have something to do with phones. So for some time, we do support for disclosures. I don't know how many years ago we started with that. It started with what we found on the internet, but also give it to other people who may be doing that for the first time or got to a very critical thing, where it would be better to have somebody else tell about it. So this very beautiful image of Jacek, I believe. If the computer burns, you can call the CCC and then they will help us. It will help you. So if somebody else's computer is burning, that's what you do then. And we do very pretty reports regularly. It's so much that about every 2 weeks or every week we have to deal with that and report things. And it's getting out of bounds a bit. I don't know if the security interior ministry will have to want to do more with it, but we're on their heels. We had a very nice case where log files by Zoom could find the two-factor authentication SMS text messages. So you could see that you're registered with WhatsApp and a code was sent and you can log in with that on WhatsApp. If you want to send money, the transaction number was floating on. That's the transaction number and you could read it up on the internet. So there was almost live access to that every few minutes. So if you timed it well, you could get the second factor for your own transaction or do it in the name of others. You could fish it that way. Of course, we warned of two-factor SMS text messages a few years ago. But for messengers like WhatsApp or Signal, it is the one way to verify the MS IDNs, but it's frightening to see where the company called Identify Mobile, which only had the one job, fails at that. And now we're wondering what they're doing for their job, actually. We also did a chaos radio on that. If you want to listen to it for a longer time, we did a chaos radio on that second factor, two-factor text messages. And in the episode after that, we met data protectors from all kinds of organizations. But the new gag, the new joke, if we access something on the internet, we got something, then we try to access the responsible ones, and they say that it might not have been disallowed, so we don't need to inform our users. So there was a case where suddenly all kinds of European institutions, for example insurances, wanted us to wanted to avoid reporting about that by making us do something like that. And very late we did the favor to them, but we didn't pass on the data, and that was the requirement. So sometimes we're wondering if we want to give that confirmation, because it is a way for the companies to not let the affected customers know about it, how unresponsible they're handling their data, which is trusted to them and the security systems.
Compliance, so wichtig an der Stelle.
Compliance is so important in this case.
Ich habe mir eine von den schönen
I had a nice site given to me. So with this huge decentral agglomeration that the CCC is. The decentral entities have birthdays. And we have a new event which started for the first time in northern Austria in August. From what I've heard, a really cool event. Where it's worth it to pay attention to that if you're around that area. Hagmar's Castle.
Könnt ihr schauen, ob ihr vielleicht nächstes Jahr euch, wenn ihr aus der Region kommt, damit anschließt.
So if you're from that area, you might take a look if you want to pay attention to that. There are new hack spaces. For example, in Ljubljana, they are called Left Click. They are also on the assembly on this event. Left Click assembly, if you want to connect. There's a new chaos meeting in Bern, Chaos Treff Bern, which is there with a violinist. The red is where they are. Whoever's at Bern, I heard they don't bite. In Landau, there was a 5-year... Ah, they messed up the slides. Okay, sorry. In Landau, the Center for Technic Culture celebrated their 5th birthday and sent us a Wusel video of the party they celebrated there. Well, 6th birthday this year might not be as big as the 5th, but the chaos part at the 14th birthday and smuggled that into the list. And now Hack Import for the 2nd time, that's an event in Essen. And what's really valuable to me is that they have their own repair cafe in the chaos part, where they invite people so that they don't have to throw away their electronics and take a look at how they can heal it and mend it. Very honorable. So whoever's around there, go to the chaos part in Essen. So one of these events that we never get tired of advertising, if you want to get a feeling for how the Congress was 25 years ago, go to the small events like the Datenspuren data traces in Dresden. They celebrated their 20th birthday in the end of August, I believe. And the next data traces, Datenspuren, will be in the September of 2025. Mark it in the calendar so you can go there. And the Entropia is now 25 years old, and after they established GPN, it might not have to be celebrated more than that. And one of the birthdays we're especially excited about is the 35 years that the Hexen, have on their.
Über den 35. erzählen.
Hallo.
On the broom, and we have invited people who will talk about this. So this is the prism of the Prisma of the Berliner Hexen and Jana. So we have a jubilee, and we have been at the Chaos Communication Congress for 35 years now.
Ursprünglich wurden wir mal als
initially,
eine Vereinigung sozusagen für Frauen gegründet.
We were founded as a unification an entity for women, and we went with the time, and now we have a Flinter definition.
Wir sind immer irgendwie queer feministisch unterwegs.
We are always a queer feminist. Flinter, so every person that can identify with that
sind bei uns sehr herzlich willkommen.
Is very welcome to us.
Sehr herzlich bei der Assembly und auch im Workshopraum.
And here on the Congress, everybody is very kindly invited to the Assembly and the Workshop Room.
Wir arbeiten an ganz verschiedenen Themen.
We work on all kinds of different topics, very diverse. And also we have overreaching topics. Very currently, the code of conduct to advance it, there's a first draft and we're still working on that. Information for a more easy entry to queer feminist topic, and our homepage is also revised and it's also work in progress. This might not work all the time. Okay, I'll continue here. Until up to the Congress, we have been 880 people on the mailing list. Now we had a picnic, a Hexen picnic, so we might be more by now. And maybe we might crack the 1,000 level. So if you're interested and on a Congress, feel free to come by. You can also join outside of the Congress or reach out to our groups. We've got local groups in Berlin, Hamburg, Leipzig, Zurich. In Berlin, you might be able to meet us in Munich, Prisma. And that's very uncomplicated. Just come by, and it's always announced via Macedon. And independent of that, it might not exist in every city. Maybe some people don't want to attend there. We have all different kinds of online meetings with very broad topics. For example, we have the security hexen, the participati, who are concerned about the political participation of people in everyday life, for example, impaired people. I need to talk faster than that. We have a reading circle, a new diverse group, a philosophy hexen. So there's something for everybody. We have our anti-stalking project, which does multiple workshops all across Germany, helps a lot. Many proceedings of the Python introduction course, and it's now funded by the Vau Holland Foundation. So thank you very much in this place. So next year we want to do our first conference, the Chaos Feminist Conference, planned for the summer 2025. We hope people will attend. Our motto is supposed to be Utopia Test Environment. More information will probably be on our website starting from February 2025. And now we have two really cool projects we have on the assembly. One thing is the Hexen map, where you can see where Hexen are and where local traps take place. And the second thing is this great Hex soldering badge, a hex hat badge. It's very cute. So in this Congress, in total, we have three workshops where we offer them in three different difficulty levels. So there's SMD soldering involved. You need to know some things. Yeah, you can solder them. And I hope next year in our conference we offer them as well. So if you have questions, want to drink a tea and sit by a Hexen fireplace, just come by. It's safe. And goodbye.
Im August gab's auch echt so einen richtigen Aufreger.
In August, there was something quite exciting. The ministerial draft of the act on the Federal Criminal Police Office. What they had in there was not just biometric mass surveillance, including all the pictures available on the internet, but also speaking patterns. They included Palantir. And one more thing where I really thought this might is the satire. They wanted to secretly break into apartments to install state-funded Trojans on the machines. So maybe the end of the coalition also has its good sides.
Oh, wo ist er denn?
Das Ampelaus. Beim Ampelaus muss man wählen. Und
so regarding the end of the coalition,
gerne mal als Internetpolizei unterwegs.
Here you see Thorsten and me as the Internet Police. We played with election software in 2007, and Martin is going to tell us a bit more. You saw us on the pictures as election officers because we've been working on elections for a while. Now in September, what happened? The states of Saxony and Thuringia voted, had elections, and they used a software that had quite a few issues. Now, why do we work on this? I'm going to go back a bit. Together with Martin Schirsich, Linus and I had a look at the PC Wahl software, so an election voting software, in 2017. It was quite a disaster. We had some talks. There was a lot of press attention. We talked to the vendors, also the authorities. We even offered our help. Why is the software so bad? Why do we need better guidelines, better directives, better designs? And we offered to actually help them work on a few things, work a few things out, but nothing really happened. So then there were elections, the federal authority published a few guidelines and kind of put the responsibility for the security on or safety on other people. The software was used for elections. And a few years later, the BSI, the federal authority, wrote this paper. And they gave us this hundreds of pages long draft and a few days to have a look at it. And we laughed and said no. So when the elections happened in Saxony, we learned that the seat allocation had been miscalculated by a software. So that what exactly happened there? In 2017, we had published quite clear demands. We said that voting election software should be open source, it should be transparent, so that everybody could have a look at the code and understand what's going on. Of course, nothing was open source. This has all been kept secret. So we said, how can it be that there's another piece of software now that deals very transparently with this whole issue of errors and mistakes? So I called the election lead in one of the states and asked what was going on. And they said, well, for security reasons, we can't say anything. We think that there was a mathematical error, an error of implementation, maybe like rounding issues or something like that. And this was plausible because the algorithms used for seat allocation in the parliament in Thuringia had recently been changed. So we said, let's have a look at this. We asked them to send us, you know, pieces of the code. We actually received one. And later the vendor actually said, yeah, there was a rounding issue. So this wasn't a security issue. So we thought there's going to be federal elections quite soon. Let's have a look at this again. So let's define this kind of a Thuringia test for election software, which is a pun made from Turing test, and we formulated a few demands and requirements for these election softwares used in elections. We've already talked about this yesterday, what we found in the current version of the current software that's being used. It wasn't as much of a disaster as the PC Wahl software that we'd looked at in 2017, but still, most of our requirements hadn't been fulfilled, and this is pretty shit, so we stick to our demand that we need open source here. We need to fund open source here, if need be, from tax money. It's absolutely essential that we have open source software that's being properly maintained in this space. We need to put in some pressure here. I think most vendors, most companies don't understand that open source does not, does, most of them don't understand that you can actually make money off of open source software. And I don't understand how this is still possible, that this generation of people making these decisions are so stubborn. And one more thing, nothing has really changed. So if CCC defines these requirements, it doesn't, it's not really useful. The responsible authorities have to do this work. And the various authorities keep saying that it's the others who are responsible. I don't really care, just do something. Get going. Can't really be the job of a few hackers to write these specifications that are not going to be followed anyway. If we want proper software here, we need a proper set of requirements that can then be tested against. So that somebody can say, well, we've checked this, we ran the tests, and we are going to use the software. So open source and more requirements. That's the summary, the gist of it. We've had quite some feedback on who is responsible. This is how it goes in bureaucracy. But if you look at what the BSI, the Authority for Information Security Matters, has written, you might actually expect that they are the ones responsible here. But maybe they're going to work on that in the coming years. Now, it's unlikely that the final result of elections are going to be massively impacted by these pieces of software, but still, we need to consider the danger to the trust in democracy. If in the end certain parties will have one seat more or less, all of these kind of things are going to endanger trust in democracy. So this is not really the time where we can afford that kind of thing. And there's obviously a lot of people who are quite interested in eroding the people's trust in democratic systems and structures. So we need to put a lot of effort in preventing this. Kantorkel mentioned it earlier. The brown paper bag is kind of the most effective weapon against biometric mass surveillance. The Digitale Freiheit Association has made this image to show us how the youth of tomorrow are going to look. So the package deal of acts on security have actually create a lot of work for us. So maybe let's talk about this package of acts. And it's actually quite a lot and affects a lot of different areas in many fucked up ways. So that you can actually only refuse it except if you're a conservative party. So the first thing is that they want to check biometric data, or check against all kinds of data available on the internet to identify people. So platforms such as PimEyes and others are going to be used for this. But obviously you also need the seeing stone. So Palantir is exactly what they would like to have introduced here. And obviously that is not enough. The ability to identify people at all times and all places. We would also like to control and check them. That's why there was an extension to the rules on areas where knives are prohibited, to enable more search and stop and search measures executed by police officers, which essentially means that we can have our bags checked by police officers basically anywhere. And none of the content, none of the issues here in the in this package has really led to any kind of mass protest that should have been. I think in earlier, like years ago, we had more protests, for example, in Hamburg. The Hamburg police once collected this kind of brush used for a toilet, and then there was a protest. At the next protest, thousands of people brought these kind of brushes. When we talk about the security package and facial recognition, we need to mention that the conservative CDU party has rejected part of the deal. But we must not forget the people, the migrants, people at the borders. For them, the recognition and surveillance is already a reality. And the second point is that if we speak about facial recognition, we need to speak about the provision of masking up. There are a lot of cameras, even these days, in public spaces, and we don't know what they're doing, whether they're recording anything, especially protests. But in times of PIM eyes, any kind of random Nazi can record people at a demonstration and then identify every single person participating in the protest using tools such as PIM eyes. So we haven't really been able to prevent these kinds of tools being widely accessible. And if we want to keep protesting, we have to get rid of this prohibition of masking, because it might be getting way more dangerous to actually go to protests in the future.
Oh, ich darf einmal die Sachen machen, die nicht so old sind.
So, let's talk about the act on the Federal Police, Criminal Police Office. We were invited as experts, but the current iteration of this act that has been rejected by the Federal Constitutional Court as partially against the Constitution. It was written by the coalition that was in government in 2007. And this was about restructuring of police databases. There is one tool that's called INPOOL, and the Federal Constitutional Court has put some restrictions on the usage of this and on automatic usage of data. So this is going to be relevant to the Palantir discussion, because this extremely large INPOOL database, where every police office and also the border police has access to, all of this has been restricted by the court. So for the next iteration of the Palantir debates, this is going to be very relevant. Until the end of July 2025, the new parliament can make changes to this act. So very shortly after the creation of the new Bundestag and the new government coming into force, we're going to have to deal with this issue. Because, as I said, the draft from August is not going to be coming into force. But as we expect the government to be created quite quickly, they will have to start working on this quite quickly as well to keep this deadline that was set by the Constitutional Court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here on the right side, we see our Dynamic Four. They had started their job with a lot of great goals. We contributed to the part of the content of the coalition agreement and made sure that things about IT weren't like 100% stupid. I'm not going to speak about this in detail for health reasons. But what we've seen recently regarding the so-called hacker paragraph, we've seen that the worst is prevented if the intention was not to use the data acquired in a criminal manner. This prevents people from being persecuted or prosecuted in a criminal court. So we hope that this is going to be included in the draft. But unfortunately, this has also been buried with all the other drafts, so the situation is still quite dangerous and insecure for people like us who find vulnerabilities. Essentially, you already have in jail or in prison. We've seen this in various cases where security researchers have had to prove that their access to data was not collected in a criminal way, but still they were prosecuted, and actually the verdict was that they were guilty because they had actually passed on the documentation of all of this. And we are actually not very hopeful that the people who are going to win the elections in February to restrict or loosen, rather loosen the stipulations of this hacker paragraph. All of us have prepared quite a lot of rants for the end, but let's look at, have a look at the time. Maybe each of us can speak about their own favorites. I'd like to add a few things to the hacker paragraph. There have been calls to actually publish vulnerabilities to the Conservative Party, the CDU. So all of us, so we can all have a rant about the coalition. They wrote into their coalition agreement, they wrote that they are going to restrict state-funded or state-used Trojans. None of that happened. They wanted to speak about vulnerabilities. None of this has happened. I still think that what's coming now is going to be even worse. And to join this rant, they also said that they were going to introduce pseudonyms and anonymous usage of the internet. And what they did instead was age verification processes. But there is a demo that we might get a look at quite soon. So there's a lot of stuff coming that has been prepared by the family ministry led by the Green Party. And I also want to join. I also think that it's crazy how the Minister for the Interior, Ms. Faeser, uses any kind of terror attack to speak about restrictions and further measures for security and against privacy.
Und damit darf Snoopy was zu Kameras in Köln erzählen.
So let's move on to Snoopy and to talk about cameras in the city of Cologne. So this is all part of the whole surveillance discussions and all the news that we heard this news, which gave us a really bad mood. We were nearly thinking that the whole thing was done now, we would not be able to do anything about it because they all went a bit crazy. This was our assessment. But let me just briefly tell a story. It's about stopping cameras, which is a small initiative in Cologne. We were founded when in the New Year's Eve, 2016, the police were using all the terrible things in order to extend the camera surveillance to do something, to just demonstrate, yes, we're police and we're doing something, so let's do a video surveillance and then this is, cannot happen again. So in this context, the police introduced modern technology, which can take very detailed images and data and extended this. We were so annoyed by this that we started digging a bit deeper, what the status of data privacy. We got some very unsatisfying answers, and since the communication didn't get any better, we decided to take the matter to court. The problem in Germany is that if you go to court in administrative areas. It takes a very, very long time. This also happened here. We brought it to court and there was some back and forth and then the whole thing stalled. And then after a while, the police thought, okay, we can, nothing's happening here, so we can extend everything, cameras, surveillance, and more areas in the public were equipped with camera surveillance. There was a quick law case where we got an idea of what it's all about, what the details are important in the case, and it's not so easy to get anything done there, make any progress at all. During that time, we produced more than 1,500 pages of paper in order to exchange the arguments, to talk about how bad it is, what about the fundamental rights, and what we think about this mass surveillance. And since we got through those fast lane cases in law, which we lost partially, so the camera surveillance was able to continue. We dedicated ourselves to the main cases, which grew to 7 cases in total, which is a lot of work. And in November this year, for the first time since first taking the matter to court, we had a first appointment at court, which we won, and the police has to reduce some of those areas of camera surveillance in public areas. This is just one small step. We still have a lot of work ahead, but what we also managed, we were able to strengthen the law for congregations, and at least 1 hour beforehand, video surveillance has to be switched off until 1 hour after the demonstration. This was quite important to us, as Kurt Torkel already mentioned, because we wanted to strengthen the liberty to demonstrate. We managed to do so, but this is quite recent, so we only got the details on this court ruling, which we will publish maybe tomorrow. We also noticed that the police is going against those court rulings. That means we will have to deal with this. I have no idea what kind of time frame we are talking about, but we'll probably see as the main administrative court in Münster. At what time, I don't know, because yeah, this is going to continue for a while. We're of course quite happy about support. It is a very difficult topic. So if you have any questions, just have a look at the website or send us a mail. Our website is kamerasstoppen.de. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, Snoopy. I want to invite you and everyone else to come to the Hansa Square in Hamburg. We are doing a surveillance walk, where the Hamburg police is doing some experiments there on different behaviors. For example, it's difficult to lie down there. The police was able to evaluate it safe and it failed terribly. There were a lot of mistakes in planning and execution. Failure rates were not being tracked. Requests for information were not being answered. The information report is a joke, even though the Red-Green Senate of Hamburg has set itself certain standards for transparency and application of artificial intelligence. So what's happening in Cologne or in Hamburg, this is not something that applies to individual cities. So the technology is coming from Mannheim, the cameras in Cologne, we can see in many other cities. So we just need to stop being active only in individual cities, but also look at other cities in a larger context.
Im Dezember haben wir uns
in December, we joined an open letter. I mean, there's a bit of pattern. International NGOs bring forward arguments. IT security experts bring arguments. They join forces and they formulate their demands. Also against this high-level working group, which is a group of experts, which depends on criminal prosecutors. They put together a wish list, which was published in June, about things they would like to have. So the mass data storage would be part of that, which also wants to undermine encryption. Technically, it's quite vague. They don't know how they want to do it with end-to-end encryption and how to undermine that without introducing backdoors. They suggested hard sanctions, and the terrible thing about this, it's not only quite vague technically, and no one really explains us how they want to do it without undermining IT security, but the really terrible thing is they found an open ear at the level of the EU Commission. So there's a high probability that those recommendations don't just evaporate, but that they will actually be considered in serious. So we have a lot of, we join forces with a lot of international NGOs, and we try to draw attention to the fact that IT security is massively being undermined here, and that the criminal prosecutor's wish list is not really everything when it comes to what is really legitimate. My impression is that this joining of forces of people and bringing forward arguments why something is a bad idea in terms of security doesn't really get anywhere. It's not being heard. Nevertheless, we put it down, and here is the next topic. I just want to add something here. So the thing about this high-level working group is that they not only that they put together this wish list of surveillance stuff, but they also played with your expert to make sure that the civil society is not being heard. I mean, there was one hearing where I was thrown in, where I was able to talk for 5 minutes, but this was just nonsense participation, so that we can say, well, you were able to say something, so that we can say you were able to say something. This is a bit of a red thread, also regarding the next topic.
So this is the Cybercrime Convention, which is a treaty which has been talked about since 2020, which was a suggestion by the Russians, which makes it hard to reason why you could find unity now. And the diplomats say, well, multilateralism, we could find a common ground. So the critics is very right. So for months there have been criticism by different joints, and we have the problem that new surveillance was demanded, but the rulings were really, really bad. And they said that they tried to discuss it, which the plenum was supposed to agree on the 17th of December, but it was delayed. We don't know exactly why it's being voted again, but we don't have any reasons to believe that the European Union would be against this public treaty, which doesn't have anything to do with cybercrime, but also has this strange ruling with hacker paragraphs and really threatens journalists and security researchers, which has data exchange requirements where dictatorships of this world as opposed to access and the standards of the civil pact are not being realized here. Very big problems, and there's a problem to get a public for that, even though the NGOs gather and write letters. So there's no consensus on holding a high European or general human rights standards is really a bad sign for the democracies. Also, by the way, the United States, which under certain conditions would agree to this treaty. One more thing. So only 40 ratifications are necessary to put it into force. And this will be easy. The Russians might just lightly laugh about it. So the only thing we could do is to reintroduce it to the plenary of the UN gathering. So the way that it's realized in the democratic states, we could look at that and hope that we can delay it for a long time. Well, I end up having the negative topics all the time. I end up being very pessimistic. I have a optimistic thing. It's the laugh that gets stuck in your throat. So this has been keeping us busy in the last weeks. One more disclosure topic, which was presented by Flipke and Michael Kral and was covered in Spiegel, a German magazine. A data leak where we were very surprised. Audi, Seat, Volkswagen, and this car brand, these cars transmit back to home where it's been stopped. And it created movement profiles for thousands of vehicles. And so far, I never found anybody who agreed to that and found that great to have it sent to an open Amazon cloud storage. But also so far, I never found anybody who thought that it was, who knew that it was safe, but thought it was safe. So I think we have a classic example. What it says on the page 37 on the data agreement. It's legally perfectly fine, this geolocation tracking. But it's a huge catastrophe that this data set even accessed it at all. So we worked through that and analyzed it together with Spiegel to have them to create attention to what kind of problems arise from that. And I remember talks with the inner ministry, the secret service, and who were amused that cars collect these data. And it's not only cars by the Volkswagen Group and not only the electrical vehicles concerned here, but with certainty you can assume that other producers do this as well, where we weren't lucky that we reported a security problem. But you need to say that the Volkswagen team did really well and did it in a really good way. Only one thing was missing, but we reported it afterwards. And the exchange was good, and we hope that it stays that way. But such a disclosure can happen in a different way, just like our friends who last year reported about DRM and trains. Now, one more thing. Take a look at how the reporting was yesterday, which was after the Spiegel article. They said like a data crash, but nothing happened. It was only the good people by the CCC. But nobody asked the question why it even happened in the first place. But we need to put this on the table. why in the world data saving should be a good thing in IT security. By the way, with the exception of the ADAC, the German Auto Drivers Club, we need to put pressure on that. But they always say, oh, bad data mishappenings, but we need to get the car drivers on our side who are affected by this. I think this is a really tough task for 2025 that we need to address here. This task won't get easier. I just talked about this with the other league, that the legal institution might have the opinion that we might have downloaded a few terabytes of data, but this is not in violation because the good people did this. So I'm receiving emails where people who were affected only learned about this via the press, and people, and we can't reply that because we deleted the data. But to inform the people in a good way which data sets exist, sometimes even the companies themselves don't know that. It was really entertaining sometimes in the topics, in the talks with the technical teams. They couldn't as easily access this data, but then the compliance came. So the data protection agents said that they weren't supposed to access it, we just collected. So I talked about the data with the people, and they said that they can't access it, but somebody else said, well, theoretically you can, but it's just right there, but I can't do it. So they, although the responsible people only pay attention that the members can't access it and that the customers are not informed.
Okay.
I'm really happy that the three hackers have been there again. Now, as a club, we support the further travels, not just financially, but in the future, we need to create more public attention to how the story proceeds. Maybe there will be a part three in the end of next year. Let's see. Last but not least, yesterday another big impact took place into the electronic patient file. Martin, together with Bianca Kastel, a series of crazy paths and decisions in the system that in the end allow that if you ever had a medical practitioner ID that allowed you to do that, to access this data, then under very easy, relatively easy circumstances, you can access all data by people who have an electronic patient file. And it ends up functioning by incrementing card numbers. Well, the case is more complicated than that, but it breaks down to increment a number and get a number. So Martin had it for some time. They had it delivered by a Hermes deliverer. So, and I wish you lots of fun with the data of the patient files. So the model trial is supposed to start on the 15th of January, and all the problems will be fixed on the 15th of February, and on the 23rd of February, the national elections will take place. I wonder how they got into the 15th February as a date. The question that is begged, if that happens so easily and so quickly and can with something that already exists, why didn't we do it in the first place? So greetings to our friends of the Fraunhofer Institute, SET, who were supposed to take a look at the security concept. They said, well, there was lots of paper, and let's just use it to train a large language model. They trained LLM, which was called.
gibt's einen Pfad so und so?
And they asked that questions, if there's a path like this and that. So you find out that if somebody reports something in this case, somebody needs to do a risk analysis. And if there's up to 5 days in a certain case, you need to have people on hold. So this is what Fraunhofer does on that. And Martin goes there and says, just at one end, this is what happens. So maybe you should think, if you do security concepts from the beginning that aren't 800 pages long for which you need to train LLMs, but who bring acknowledge security standards to application, but for some reason it doesn't establish itself.
This is a electronic patient records for everybody. We just didn't know that they meant access to all the data for everybody. There is an opt-out procedure, so we'd like to actually tell you explicitly that it's possible to contradict and opt out of these measures, so there won't be an electronic patient record created for you. There's guides on the internet for that. We're not going to talk a lot about our prospects for the coming year. I think it's been already made clear what issues we're going to be speaking about a lot next year. But we should say that the issues that we've talked about now are always just part of what CCC does. We focused on the political issues, but 2024 was also the year where in all the regional and local associations associated with the club had several events and various workshops, etc. So maybe we could also actually have another talk about that. I just want to stress that this is just a partial view of the CCC's work. So maybe our prospects are quite dark, but as you can see, it's quite colorful. It's a rainbow. It's very colorful as long as we stay inside our hackerspaces. I'm very concerned about the coming elections. We've seen quite a few elections in the past in Europe, but also in several German states, for example, in Brandenburg and Saxony. But there is no use in giving up. We will continue to have a very important role, educating people about technology, being independent, being public about the issues that we care about. My hope would be that the situation is not going to be as dark as we might expect it to be after the elections. I can't really think of anything more positive. Maybe one of you, Erdgeist, has written a note saying that he can't speak anymore. I've already been wondering why you're so silent. So his voice is gone. I think that our prospects are rather dark, and it wouldn't make a lot of sense to try to deceive ourselves here. But I think we have to join forces and have to remember a few values that are quite easy in good times, being friendly, caring about solidarity, caring about minorities and weaker people, and being open towards this world and sharing knowledge, because knowledge makes us into subjects that can create a better world. And while we live out these values here at our conferences and our congresses, I think these values are going to be tested in the coming months and probably years. That's why I would like to wish all of you a beautiful Congress. Thank you. We have a fantastic security crew. Warm round of applause for them. They would like to say something about what happened earlier. Hey, everybody. Most of you were here at the beginning of the talk. We were called in. We're the crew. We do security. Many of you know us. We're the security who've been working for the CCC for quite a few years. We were called in because people were standing here with this banner on the stage, and we want to say a few words. We obviously do our work to enable this talk, but we also want to stress that we are behind the demand on the banner. And there is a flyer that has not been read yet, and we're going to do that now. Fighting patriarchal structures and believe victims, despite repeated occurrences of sexual violence inside of CCC, the CCC has not found an adequate response. Instead of supporting victims, the perpetrators are still part of the community and are still allowed to be part of the events. This shows structural issues with patriarchal violence and reflects sexist structures. Sexualized violence is part of a power dynamic and should not be relativized or as a conflict between two people. It is based on structural power dynamics, and this results in re-traumatization of the victims. An awareness team and a mediation body are not sufficient to deal with this. Dear CCC, you need to believe victims. You should stop protecting perpetrators. If you're part of this event, talk to the organizers, care for each other, and believe the victims.